Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Rick Bizzio's Franchise Focus. This is Graham Chapman. I have co-host Rick Bizzio on the show with me today. We had scheduled this discussion, this show, to talk about the political race this year, the presidential race, which is in all likelihood going to be between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. we had this on the calendar as we approach conventions and as we get into the real race here for the next few months, heading into the national election. I thought it was a great time to talk about politics and their impact on franchising, and we will get to that in short order. Today on Monday, June 13th, as the rest of the country and in many respects the world mourns what happened in Orlando over the weekend, the mass shooting, the largest shooting in American history at the nightclub in Orlando. Certainly can't start a podcast with a moment of silence, but we would be remiss not to start this podcast with a moment of recognition for what happened there. I'll sort of start before putting Rick kind of on the spot and asking him his thoughts here. That's just something that you can't prepare for, you can't plan for. You wake up on a weekend morning, and that's what's flashing across your news screen, your TV screen, and want nothing more than to just say that our thoughts, our prayers, everything is with those impacted directly or indirectly, by the shootings. If they've lost loved ones, if they're caring for and standing beside those who are injured in these acts, there's going to be a lot of conversation about the tie into terrorist organizations and the threat to our country, which are very real and very serious threats. But I just want to make sure that we spend our attention or spend our quick time here on that front, honoring or, sending our thoughts and prayers and our sympathies to all the parents, the family members, the friends, and anyone else, who was impacted directly or indirectly by this weekend's events. We certainly are thinking of you and hope that, nothing for the best if you have a chance for a loved one to make it through this. We want nothing more than to recognize the humanity in play here and that we are hurting inside ourselves as a country watching that type of thing happen. Rick, I won't put you on the spot there, but on that somber note, welcome to the show. Thank you for staying here with me as we do get into this, because while it's obviously impossible not to address that topic as we start today, and there is a little bit of a tie-in to what we'd like to discuss with immigration reform and these two presidential candidates and the impact on franchising. So thank you for allowing me to give those condolences and say those types of things for those who underwent the most horrific tragedy you can imagine this weekend.
Absolutely. And I live 2 hours down the road from where it happened, and we have family and friends who have sons and daughters who are going to school in Orlando and go out at night, so there was an awful lot of texts being sent backwards and forwards and that sort of thing, and it's tough. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, no, it's scary. Anytime something like that happens, you just think of all those who are related to you or even not related to you who have friends, family, relatives in or around that area. I remember in high school being in class and the September 11th attacks happened, and I'm not quite old enough to really understand the full ramifications of an event such as that. A lot to wrap your head around. Have relatives and family up in New York, and your mind starts racing, and it's scary and absolutely crazy. And I can only imagine what that was like for you, and even worse, those who did have people directly impacted by that. Yeah, I guess we'll leave it at that, that our thoughts and prayers and our sympathies and everything else are with those folks today. Let's sort of get into it, Rick. I'll start this with everyone else. Of course, housekeeping as usual. We got some great content out there for you guys to read, to review. Rick just put out his, most well-read article on Entrepreneur a few days ago. It's spreading like wildfire. 7 reasons why your salary job is like crack cocaine. Obviously an interesting title there, but certainly very pertinent, very relevant, and some great tips and tricks for the aspiring entrepreneurs out there who are listening in today. Definitely check that out. On the same topic or on a similar topic, review the Franchising USA article that published in May, speaking to the advantages of getting coached and not consulted. And then, of course, track the action on LinkedIn with us, where we post all of, you know, Rick's great content via his profile, and obviously provide you with a monthly contributed article to that space as well. Rick, speaking to topics like this last one, the top 10 books you should read before buying a business. So definitely pay attention and check out, you know, things past this podcast that Rick produces that give you excellent tips and tricks and insights into what's required to do your, you know, best job due diligence wise and get off to the right start, you know, with your business. So track the action on LinkedIn and follow Rick on Twitter at EducatedZ. So Rick, let's jump into it. You know, since we did come into this show, you know, intending to devote a full podcast to this, I guess let's make the transition by talking about what happened, you know, that type of terrorist attack, and what, if you wouldn't mind sort of weighing in here, do you think that as we parlay into talking about which candidate would be better for franchising or entrepreneurs or the, or if they both have advantages and disadvantages on that frontier, you know, I guess on a micro level with this type of terrorist attack and what happened, you know, Hillary with her foreign policy experience, Trump with his whole notion of making America great again and his approach to immigrants or immigration, did you have an initial reaction or thought to which candidate this type of event would help, would hurt, or what their responses could or should be to that type of event?
Well, before I jump into saying anything about anything, I think I need to just lay it out there that I have been a registered independent for my entire life. So
very good.
I have, so, you know, I have a number of things that I like and dislike about both of the candidates, and politics are always a very tricky thing because anything you say can obviously be cause concern, I guess, with people who feel differently. So I hope everyone takes it all into perspective. But, you know, if you think about what has happened, not just with Orlando, but with a lot of this stuff, and keep in mind, this is not a U.S. issue, okay, first of all, in regard to the terrorism that's happening. This is not a United States issue. This is a global issue. This is happening in Europe. It's happening in the United States. It is happening in the Middle East. With the Sharia law and the different organizations that feel differently about how to apply Islam within those countries. So this is not a U.S. issue by itself. This is a global issue. The United States by itself, I don't think we can fix it. I don't think there's any number of bombs. I don't think there's any amount of guns. I don't know if there's even any amount of eavesdropping on telephone calls that can necessarily fix it. I think the fix is much larger. It really requires a difference, a change in the way of thinking so that these acts are no longer glorified, so that these acts are no longer considered a suitable approach to whatever grievances these individuals may have. In many ways, if we could find a way to let to kind of create a single voice, and maybe this will help in some ways. I mean, Christianity really does have a voice through the Pope, and and Judaism has a voice through the Orthodoxy in Israel, and there is there's tremendous clarity as to what it means to be Jewish, and if you don't do it right, there's a lot of clarity about it being incorrect. Unfortunately, Islam has never had a single voice. Each imam has his own voice. And, you know, maybe this will, over time, allow for the rising of a single voice, hopefully a moderate voice, in the world of Islam. I mean, it's the second largest religion in the world. And by 2050, it's predicted to be the largest religion in the world. And so it's a tough thing. As far as how the two candidates have reacted to it, I think they've kind of reacted the way you'd expect them to. I think Hillary has reacted with a certain amount of diplomacy and decorum and a certain amount of, you know, she's careful about what she says and how she says it. You know, she says, "I'm upset," but she says it in a politically correct way.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, Trump has come out with, you know, all guns blazing and, you know.
No surprise.
And, and explaining to everybody why, you know, why this happened and why, you know, they made a lot of mistakes and why it should be done differently. Honestly, I don't think either one of them has the answer. I mean, they have different approaches, but I don't think either one of them necessarily has an answer that I believe conclusively will work, because I think the problem is much bigger than either one of them.
There's no doubt about it. I think you said something there at the end, which certainly convinces me that in this instance, on this particular topic, you know, with this event that occurred, because Trump hasn't been pressed to deliver any real answers to anything he certainly stands for or any guns that he blazes in his debates or his speeches or his interviews. You know, I think his ability to sort of inspire or rile up fearmongers and other folks, you know, who are angry, who are ticked off, who do feel in some instances the same way he does, or at least he projects on certain topics. You know, I think he can utilize this as a tool to fire folks up and get more people invested and involved in what he has to say and behind him or supporting him. And I think in this instance, because of that, because there are no real answers to any of these issues, and it does inspire people to, you know, become very passionate, very angered, very irritated, very volatile, that I think that does play to his hands to some degree. You know, we still haven't gotten to the conventions here, and we're still a long way out from actually, you know, voting on who the president is. And there's going to be a lot of jockeying and a lot of positioning. And Trump will certainly try to use events like this to parlay into, you know, these are the types of things justifying why we need to take drastic measures to make America great again. You know, but with Hillary, like you said, with her experience, particularly on a foreign policy frontier, you know, and her diplomacy and the way she handles herself and the experience she has as a politician in general, I think that she can potentially, you know, fend off a lot of the accusations that Trump would make or a lot of the stances he'd take and, you know, bring things back to the middle to some degree.
Trump's power is that he simply says what people are thinking. That's all.
Yep.
That's his power. He says what people are thinking, and you know, they're obviously, people are not happy with what's happening, and they shouldn't be. And he expresses it, and there's tremendous power in that. But I have not seen a real solution being presented, really, from either side.
No, absolutely not. Well, speaking to that, you know, you mentioned that he says what's on people's mind, and people are dissatisfied or irritated with where certain things in the country or the economy or the certain environment stands. I guess as Obama comes to the end of his tenure, and these two presidential candidates specifically have come out of, you know, their respective parties, is there something to what Obama has done or has failed to do that leaves people unsatisfied and has led to the rise of these two candidates, in your opinion?
I don't know. I think that there's a group of people who really dislike Obama, and they disliked him from before he was elected, and they will always dislike him. And I don't think there's anything you'll ever do to change that. If you look at it just very objectively from an economics point of view, and you look at when he became president to where the economy is right now, it'd be hard to argue that the economy has done anything but improve during the last 8 years. I mean, 2008 was not a great year, and 2016 is a whole lot better. So the economy's moved in a good direction. Now, you know, the natural argument back is, well, that had nothing to do with Obama. That was going to happen anyhow. I don't know. Maybe that's true. I don't know who's to blame or who's to be rewarded, but the economy has definitely gotten better, and maybe there was just a certain amount of luck or happenstance, but the economy's done well. You know, Obama does come from the side of the Democratic Party that's, you know, very much in support of labor, in support of, you know, many of the more, I guess, left-leaning areas of the Democratic Party. You know, obviously the creation of the medical, you know, what they call it, the
Affordable Care Act.
Affordable Care Act, exactly. And, you know, he's done some things that have really moved us more in the direction that, you know, that you would normally expect more a Democratic type individual to do. And I think that served to make people even more upset. personally, I think it's a good thing. That's just my personal opinion on the Affordable Care Act. I think that, you know, regardless of what happens in society, if somebody is on the side of the road and they're sick or they're injured, we're not going to let them die. If they don't have any money and they don't have any insurance, it doesn't matter. As a human, we're going to pick them up, we're going to take them to a hospital, and we're going to see if we can't fix them. That's what we do. And so we already have a socialized system. If people can't pay, we still cover them. The thing is, we're covering them through the insurance, through the emergency rooms. And it's a very expensive way to cover people. And so if we can find a way to cover people, but to do it in a way that's maybe a little bit more cost-efficient potentially, maybe that's a good thing. I'm not sure that this will be more cost-efficient overall. It's probably going to balloon like a lot of things do in our government. It's probably going to become a very large program and cost a lot of money. But at the end of the day, we are taking care of people. I think you can't argue that this is we have socialized medicine. We have had it for many, many decades.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So. Let me ask a different question, and I'll make it more generic so it may be less polarizing or less controversial in the response. Maybe not even focus directly on the candidates themselves, but from where you sit, as someone who is deeply involved in franchising and helping people get their start in franchising, are there certain, governmental policies or topics, you know, like an Affordable Care Act, as you pointed to, or immigration reform, or, what is defining of a, full work week, things of that nature? Are there any particular topics that you find, you know, very important as far as which of these candidates can better address or solve those issues that would help elevate franchise? Anything that you think needs to be truly addressed and, you know, could be improved to really help entrepreneurs as they get started in franchising?
I mean, there's a whole number of issues that, you know, you would normally expect the Republicans to have the lead on. I mean, you know, obviously there's been, anybody who's been involved in franchising knows we've been having a major issue with the National Labor Relations Board rulings.
Yep.
And the joint employer mandates. And, and that really is a result of, you know, Obama taking people who are very supportive of the unions and changing the rules. So, and it creates all kinds of problems. There are many of the things that have happened have made it more difficult for business owners. And in a normal election cycle, I think it'd be pretty easy to say, hey, generally speaking, the Republican candidate is going to do less of that sort of thing, that they're going to roll some of those things back. And that would be normally what you would expect. I think the challenge right now is that we don't really know what Trump's policies are on any of these things. In some ways, he's running as a very conservative Republican. On the other hand, he's almost running as a populist.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure. But I would say if you looked at it in a normal election cycle and you looked at Democrats and Republicans, a lot of times the Republican policies will be more business friendly and they would definitely be more franchising friendly. And I think that's a fairly consistent thing over the years.
No question. Are you hearing, so like our listeners out there listening to this show are aspiring or current franchise owners trying to get some insights into what people like themselves are saying or some tips from you, as you've been speaking with potential franchise owners in the past few months, obviously whoever's going to be our president is a big topic of conversation or a big topic of thought as they determine, what they want to do with their future, how that particular candidate could help or hurt them in the long run. Are you hearing any questions about the political environment, maybe not even tied to the presidential candidates, but those topics, as you mentioned, what are some of your, prospective franchisees that you're coaching? Are you hearing anything along the political landscape that could be addressed or could be shared here?
You know, it's interesting. The answer is no. In all of the people I work with, and I work with lots of folks, not a single one has come to me and said, you know, I think I will or I think I won't because of the election. Or, you know, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, but if the election happens, then I'm afraid this is going to happen. There's been absolutely no conversation about it. And that's actually unusual. I know that, 8 years ago when I was doing this, when Obama was running the first time, there were a lot of people very concerned about Obama becoming president. And I had people telling me they were going to leave the country and that the country was going to fall apart. And I mean, they all kind, no, seriously. I mean, there was all kinds of stuff.
I believe it.
Yeah, but honestly, not a single person has even raised the topic with me. I think that everyone's right now just so confused with what's happening that they're not sure. But it hasn't really had any effect at this point. But I do believe that Who's Chosen will have an effect on our business environment. I would say one thing, though, and that is that I think that as a group of people, we almost always overestimate the effect that the president can have.
Mm-hmm.
The president is a wonderful figurehead. The president has a very important role. And when it comes to, like, international politics and declaring war and stuff like that, okay, the president has certain things they can do. But the fact is the president doesn't control the budget. So the president can really only achieve certain things if the Congress is going to support them. And so it's not that easy for the president to come in and just unilaterally change the things to the way they want it. It really has to have the support of the Congress. And, you know, with the NLRB thing, I mean, obviously the president has put all these folks in charge of the NLRB and have created a completely redefining how the relationship between an employer and employee is, basically redefine all the case law for the last 50 years, basically. Well, okay, they're doing that, but the Congress is stripping all their funding. It can be very hard for them to enforce stuff, and, you know, if the Congress doesn't give them the money to do things. So it's always a battle, and you always have to look at where the money is. And you know, never underestimate the power of Congress. And the one last thing I would say is no matter what change is made, it will be equally applied across the United States. So no one business owner would be disadvantaged.
Right.
Unless, you know, generally these things are done on a national basis. And I'm not sure if I can really point, in the last 15 years of doing this, I'm not sure if I can point to any one individual, any one franchisee who has been significantly advantaged or disadvantaged on an individual basis based on a national decision.
True. No, that's true. And if if any prospect out there is trying to figure out why things are or are not getting done in politics or pretty much anywhere else, it's probably always a smart move to first start by following the money. I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
Typically how things are done or not done.
That's all Congress. Yeah. Congress controls all the purse strings.
Mm-hmm. I think the last thing that I certainly hear about, we got to cut you loose soon, Rick. I know you have another obligation here in a few minutes. You know, regardless of what happens or where things stand here in a few months, there's going to be a lot on the table to discuss at the IFA's, it's called the Franchise Action Network now, formerly called the Public Affairs Conference in September, about when we'll host another podcast like this. I'd love to address this type of topic again when we get closer to the actual election itself. But one thing we talked about joint employer, National Labor Relations Board, things like that, but sort of tied into the scary events from this weekend, but in a completely different light. The concept of immigration reform isn't just a national topic as far as who should or should not be in our country, but also who should, be working with franchise brands, legal or illegal worker. Do you feel that immigration reform is still a large topic within franchising and impacts how franchisees run their business? Or are the other topics like what a 40-hour work week is, Affordable Care Act, other topics that are of the top level concern, are those just significantly more important or, salient for the franchising community to discuss and figure out, or are they all massive?
Well, when you change the 40-hour work week and they start doing these kind of things, they think that what they're doing is helping the employee, but really what they're doing is they're just forcing the employer to change the number of hours they give people. So they just change the number of hours, they change it around, and then now the employee has to find 2 to 3 jobs where before they could have had one. So what happens is they make these rules, and then the employers, it's not franchising, all the employers, they uh-huh. change the way they hire and the number of hours they give in order to make sure that they stay in the proper threshold area. So, I mean, all of those things. From an immigration point of view, you know, franchising, let's just take entrepreneurship in general. Entrepreneurship in general has always been driven by entrepreneurs. I mean, the number of entrepreneurial families, immigrant families who come to this country and start their own business is gigantic.
Yep.
You know, in many ways, and I know this might be something that some people disagree with, but in some ways, the immigrants actually have a stronger connection to the American dream than those of us who live here do.
Oh, I'd completely agree with
that. We were born into this American dream. We didn't choose it. It just was there. Hey, we always grew up with it. It's our American dream. Okay. But these folks lived somewhere else, learned about it, studied it, said, I want that. And they made a proactive decision to go and try to get the American dream. And I think it's our job to honor the American dream by helping them achieve it. Now,
yes.
Do we need reform in our immigration law? Absolutely we do. It's a mess. My wife has gone through that. I mean, from coming in from France, they lost her file several times. It took years to get through the process. It was just a nightmare. And
Yep. It's
worse than the IRS, because the IRS, at least it's a voting constituency that manages the IRS, right? The IRS, we can vote our mind when it comes to the IRS. But with the INS, all the people they deal with are non-citizens. So there's no voting constituency to control what they're doing. So they really absolutely have to control this. But I'll say one thing about this. I watched a speech by a gentleman who was talking about immigration reform, and they talk about building a wall and all that kind of stuff. That is not where our immigrants are coming from. Our immigrants are not coming across the border on the back of a mule. The majority of our immigrants, a large majority of our immigrants, are simply what they call visa overstayers. People who come in legally on a tourist visa and don't go home.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the majority of our... And now, how are you going to build a wall against that? Somehow, we need to get better at what we're doing. We have to improve the way the INS works, the way we track everything, and we need to give people viable paths to move forward. And if they don't have that, they're going to choose other ways.
Agreed.
We all immigrated here, my friend. We all immigrated. Your parents,
no
my
question.
Parents.
Not franchise owners and CEOs and founders who created franchise brands. I know dozens, hundreds, who are immigrants and who are some of the best franchise owners and smartest C-level executives I've ever encountered. And a lot of that drive and motivation and desire you're speaking to that. You know, they really embody what the American dream is and came and chose it and went through any hoop required to make sure they afforded themselves that chance in our country. And they've built thriving businesses that provide a ton of jobs and generate a lot of output for our economy. I think that's a brilliant thing and something that should be protected, enhanced, and improved, as you're mentioning. I think that's exactly right.
Yep.
Very good. Sadly, we got to cut you loose. Rick, I did enjoy this, though it was quick. I'd love to, and I'll obviously share this idea with you. I think doing a larger podcast with a few, influential political minds within franchising, bringing them on for some type of roundtable as we pass the conventions and get deeper into the summer, fall election season, I think that would be a lot of fun and something that's very informative for our audience. So I'll pitch you on that later.
Sounds good, my friend.
You have a great day, and our listeners out there, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back at you in a couple months, speaking again to the topic of politics and franchising. In the meantime, track the action on Twitter @EducatedZ and follow Rick on LinkedIn to get direct access to his entrepreneur articles, Franchising USA articles, and the published posts that he posts to his personal page. Until next time, this is the Rick Bizzio Franchise Focus Podcast. I'm Graham Chapman. That's Rick Bizzio. We'll talk to you next time, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.